may close our eyes in prayer. Our Heavenly Lord, our Heavenly God, this morning, Lord, it is a blessing for us to be before you. This morning, our God, is a wonderful time for us to come before your presence. It's a wonderful time for us, Lord, to worship you as we begin our worship, even now as we continue in the studying of your word, O King. We ask you, our God, that you may speak to us. We ask you, our God, that you may visit us. O King of Kings, here we are before you this morning. May your word make sense to us. Penetrate through our hearts. Penetrate to these stony hearts of us. Open our ears and our eyes of the Spirit, that we may see the goodness of your gospel, that we may see the glorious Christ who came to save us from sin. We pray and we ask all this for the sake of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We all say Amen. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Brethren, I'm grateful to be with you today. Here really, we are grateful to be here, although the rain tried to stop us this morning. So the message I prepared for us this morning is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 32 to 47. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we all are witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend unto the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Savior. Or both Lord and Christ in this translation. Now, when they heard this, verse 37, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received this word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' teachings, in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided among themselves as everyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temples and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were saved. May the good Lord bless the reading of his words. Mama Karabo, if you can read for us from verse 32 to 37 only then, at least. Putting in mind that we are coming from our first and second sermon on this small or mini series on soul winning.
Lapho sifundisa khona ngoku ukuzuza imiphefumulo. zengcenyeni esithathu ngoba sikhamba ezingcenyeni ezimbili esemuva ngisho kanjalo dad. So on the first message, what we have learned, brethren, is that our character matters for us to communicate the word of God.
Isimilo sethu sibalulekile uma sishumayela izwi.
And we have realized then that we need to be Christ-like. We need to be righteous for us to present God as His godly children. And we have realized then that we need wisdom also from the Lord to communicate His message to the people. And then our next sermon, we have realized that Jesus Himself is our perfect example on soul winning.
Sabona ukuthi noJesu naye kunguye oyisibonelo sethu.
Jesus Christ came from heaven for the very reason to win souls.
UJesu ke weza emhlabeni ezela ukuba azuze imiphefumulo.
The Bible reminded us that His name is Jesus because He shall save His people from their sins.
Leli gama lakhe ke linguJesu lisho ukuba uza kusindisa abantu bakhe.
Jesus Christ, Yahshua, the Lord is salvation.
Leli gama elithi Jesu elithi uNkulunkulu uyasindisa.
He went out to places from city to city to win souls to Himself.
Ahamba achubeka ayozuza imiphefumulo.
Then He called men and trained them to be soul winners, to be fishers of men. So the purpose this morning is to see this mission of soul winning being carried out by the church, being carried out by the apostles. After Jesus has trained them and sent them out, the question that remains is, how did they begin this work of soul winning?
Uma ke beqala lomsebenzi siyabona ukuthi bawuqala kanjani lomsebenzi wokuzuza imiphefumulo.
The question that remains is, how did they influence people? How were they of a greater influence in the lives of the people? What difference did they make in the lives of the people?
Baba namuphi umthelela noma benza muphi umehluko ezimpilweni zabantu?
We have just received a foretaste this morning when we read Acts chapter number 8.
Namhlanje kuma sifunda izenzo chapter 8 sikutholile lokhu.
But the question is, how did they begin? And how did God keep His promise that, behold, I shall be with you till the end of the age?
Uba uNkulunkulu yokugcina kanjani lokhu ukuthi ngoba nani kuze kube sekupheleni komhlaba.
So the theme this morning is, they were cut to their hearts.
Isihloko ke namhlanje sithi bashayeka enhliziyweni noma bakhatheka ezinhliziyweni.
Kuverse number 37.
Ba ameha mayifuto.
Abawusaba aneha.
Bathatheka emizweni yabo.
Okay, that's the title for this morning, brethren. They were cut to the heart.
Ba ameha mayifuto.
This is a theme that will lead us to next week's theme, which says soul winning with purpose.
Lege theme ezosiholela kwisemoni elandelayo,
which was supposed to be this week.
Lebe kufanele ibe namhlanje.
If you look at your preaching card, this week we were supposed to be preaching soul winning with a purpose, but I moved it to next week after prayer and careful consideration. I believe we should be preaching this message today. So the Bible says they were cut to the heart. So they were broken hearted and they were standing under the conviction of their sins. In other words, they started to feel the need of salvation within them. And all this happened because Peter stood up. When Peter stood up and began to preach the gospel, they were cut into the heart.
Uma uPetro eqala ukushumayela, baba mega emiphefumulweni yabo.
In summary, what do I mean by saying Peter preached the gospel?
Usukuthini ukuthi uPetro washumayela?
This is how the gospel in threefold looks like.
Ivangeli ke libhekeka ngalendlela ngezimenye ezintathu.
The gospel what it presents to us, it presents to us a holy God who is offended by us when we sin before him.
Liveza uNkulunkulu okhubekile ngathi esimonileyo.
That's what the gospel does. It reveals to us an offended God, and it reveals us as a sinful people, far from God, alienated from him.
Lisivezela uNkulunkulu esimkhubileyo, esikude naye, esingekho nabudlelwano naye.
Then here's the good news. That's why it's called the good news.
Nansi ke indaba ezimnandi.
Then it presents to us a man called Jesus who came to reconcile God and man and bring them together in union and in peace.
Bese-ke liveza lo muntu onguJesu Kristu onguye obuyiselana umuntu noNkulunkulu.
And then it brings to us also to bad news.
Bese lisilethela futhi nendaba ezingekho mnandi.
The holy judgment of God that is standing against those who will not repent.
Bese-ke nokwahlulela kukaNkulunkulu obuyokubamba labo ebengeke baphendule.
So when I say Peter preached the gospel, when I say we preach the gospel, that's what we do.
Uma kuthiwa ushumayele ivangeli yilobu.
If I say to you, have you heard the gospel?
Uma ngithi uke walizwa ivangeli.
It means, have you realized that there is a God who's offended by your sin, and you are a sinner, and there's a Jesus Christ who came to reconcile you and God? That's the question.
Loko kusho ukuthi ke uzwile ukuthi uNkulunkulu omkhubileyo ukhona na, futhi ukhona uJesu ongabuyiselenisa naye.
So that's the idea when we say Peter preached the gospel. And when he preached the gospel, then the Bible says they were cut into the heart. He stood up. In many cases today, when you are encouraged or motivated to stand up, people are encouraging you to stand up for your rights. They want you to stand up for what is right. Today we have a countless number of campaigns and movements coming up against children and women abuse.
Sinama group amanengi ke amele abantwana ukuhlukumezwa kwabomama nabantwana.
People are standing up for what is right.
Abantu bamela ukubafana.
We have campaigns that stands in favor of children and women's rights.
Sinama campaign amele abesifazane abahlukunyezwa nabantwana.
All this is good. People are standing up for what is right. And Peter stood up. And in the same way then, we know that the reason why we've got these campaigns, it is because the problems and the abuses are carrying on and escalating.
Isizathu-ke sinalaba abamayo kungoba ukuhlukunyezwa kwabomama nabantwana into echubekayo.
So the more these things escalate, campaigns will come up.
Uma lezi zinto zichubeka zikhula namakhampeyini nawo ayakhula.
So in the same way,
nangaleyo ndlela,
that is why the more sin carries on in this world, the gospel also needs to carry up.
Uma ke isono naso siphakama nokushinyayelwa kwevangeli kufanele siphakame.
In the same way, when God looks down from heaven on the children of men to see if there's any who seeks him, to see if there's any who understands,
noNkulunkulu naye akabheka emhlabeni ufuna kubona ukuba kukhona abamfunayo na, kukhona abaqondayo.
And the Bible tells us that he found none.
Ibhayibheli ithi akatholanga muntu.
Because they've all fallen away. Together they become corrupt.
Ngoba bonke bangcolile.
And there's none who does what is right.
Akekho futhi olungileyo noma owenza ukulunga.
And it carries on and says, not even one.
Lithi akuthi akekho namunye.
That is a very serious challenge, brothers and sisters.
Inselela enkulu kabike le bazalwane.
That all have violated the law of God.
Ukuba bonke bamonile.
All have rebelled against God.
Bonke bamhlubukile.
That is why we need the gospel. That is why Peter is standing up.
kungako ke singi vangeli kungako uPetro ema eShumayela.
If God looks at us that way,
uma uNkulunkulu esibheka ngaleyo ndlela,
but he doesn't stop there,
futhi angagcini lapho.
He sent his son into the world, that's grace, to redeem us from sin.
Uthumela indodana yakhe emhlabeni ukuba isihlenge noma isithele,
that may be reconciled to him.
Uba sibuyela
na, he sent his son into this world to win men to God, so that men may have a relationship with God. And in the same way, his son also called out men and sent them, training them into the world to win souls, to be fishers of men.
No, futhi wathumela-ke umuntu ukuba naye lowo muntu ayozuza abantu.
That we may share the gospel, that we may win people back to Christ Jesus.
Ukuba sihlanganyele kuleli livangeli sizuzele abantu.
That we may be united to God.
Sibe munye noNkulunkulu.
So what we see is that Peter stood up and preached.
Esibonayo ukuthi uPetro
uma. And his preaching led to the fact that people were cut into their hearts. There are two things, brothers and sisters, that I would like us to consider in this study this morning. I want us to look at the environment first in which Peter stood up. The environment, isimo, where Peter stood up. That is the first thing. The second thing, I want us to look at the kind of a message that Peter preached. So what kind of an environment was it? What kind of a people was these people in which Peter stood up and preached to? That is going to help us also as soul winners. We need to know the environment, we need to know the people. When you read verse 5 of this chapter, it tells us that these were devout Jews. They were strictly religious people. People who thought they had some kind of a relationship with God. People who thought maybe through understanding or through trying to keep the law of Moses, they had a relationship with God. People who thought maybe because they were physical descendants of Abraham, they had a relationship with God. Look, these are people who came from all over the world, according to the Bible, to go to Jerusalem and worship. These are people who are truly devoted to religion. But at the same time, these were people who were willing to split blood for what they believed. So the environment we're looking at is a very threatening environment. Because if you remember carefully how religious people are, they are stubborn in their hearts. If sita abantu abakholwayo, it might sound like we're talking about Christians. Sikhuluma abantu benkolo, you know, abantu benkolo.
Abantu nje abakholelwa emasikweni
athile. Yeah, they've got stony hearts. They are hateful. They are spiritually blind, they are dead in their sins. Even though they're trying to act as if they are worshippers of God, but these are the very same people who crucified Jesus Christ in the name of religion. They rejected Christ. They denied him as the Messiah. Even denied that he died and arose from the dead for the salvation of their souls. A very stubborn people. That's the situation here. If you read further on this book, you can see how they stoned to death Stephen. If you read carefully and continue to study this word, especially where we read this morning, you can see how Saul of Tarsus went from house to house, killing people. You can see how the apostles themselves, they suffered brutally beating for the sake of the gospel by the very same people of Jerusalem. These were stubborn people. But above all, brothers and sisters, they were a guilty people before God. You see, the gospel is for people who are guilty, so that they may not be guilty, so that then they may be sustained by the same gospel before God. They were guilty people, but they were people in need of the gospel. They were people who were hungry, but they could not begin to see their needs of the gospel because they were dead in their sins. They were ignorant. That's what sin does, my friends. Makes people to be ignorant. It's not because people are smart, but they are ignorant. They are dead in their sins. These were the very people acting like they are happy, like a fish swimming in the water, acting as if he's happy. But deep down underneath that water, where he begins to swim and continue to swim, he's hungry and he begins to eat junk. Look what's happening around. Starving people, but rejecting the gospel, choosing to eat any junk that they may find. But brothers and sisters, the wrath of God remains for everyone who's outside the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the kind of environment, that is a kind of a people that Peter has to address. A threatening environment. But secondly, it was a hopeless environment for the gospel. A hopeless environment. People who act religiously, people who are bowing down and saying they're worshipping God. But here is Peter standing up and says, you need Jesus. You need to repent from your sins. What kind of environment, my friends, are we facing today? Is this not a threatening environment? Is it easy to go out there and tell people to turn from their sins? Are people around here not religious? Is not everyone today in some kind of a church? Are the Jehovah's Witness not religious people? Are the Zessuses not religious people? Are the Shembes not religious people? Is this, whatever is happening down here, not religious people? Can you tell them that you cannot be trained to be the children of God or the people of God unless you have Jesus? Can you tell them? Try, you will see what's going to happen. They will stone you to death. One house we went down here, me and brother Jacob, the people that belong to, what is this, Miemedi church kind of a thing? The Varibana Miemedi. Who are these? Yes, yes. They belong to IPCC, whatever. We tried to share the gospel with them. She took out her porridge. It was a brown matabela porridge. What do you see this? It is better than what you're telling me. I would rather eat Mama Tabela to listen to that junk. Get out. somewhere around you again. This man and Brother Selo, they were almost stoned. Just to say, do you know that you have offended God? You are a sinner, but there is Christ who is willing, if you believe, to save you. So my question is this not a threatening environment? Can you go down to the text rank, the other side, and say to those people who are jumping around there, you did Jesus, can you do it? Is this not a hopeless situation for the gospel? Yes, it is. But Peter stood up. There is a reason why Peter stood up. The reason is rooted in the kind of a message that Peter preached. Doesn't matter how ignorant they are. Let's look at the kind of a message he preached. In this message, we're not trying to break down the message that Peter preached, brothers and sisters. I'm not going to analyze the message. But what I want to bring to you is how did the Spirit of God honor the message that Peter preached? How did the Spirit of God work together with the gospel that is Christ-centered to penetrate the hearts of people? This will show us how much we need of the Spirit, as much as we need the gospel. We begin to see the Spirit and the gospel working their miracle together and begin to penetrate in the hearts of the people. The Bible says, when they heard, we'll get to this, what does it mean? But when they heard, they said, brothers, what shall we do? They didn't just say, brothers, what shall we do? The Bible says they were cut to the heart. The gospel that we preach needs to cut to the heart. But Peter had to stand up. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ has to do today, to stand up. We remember the promise of Jesus Christ. He says, behold, I shall be with you till to the end of the age. But before he says that, he says, go therefore to all nations. So Peter's mind knows that Jesus said, go. So the reason why Peter's standing up and preaching, it is because Jesus said, go. So when we see Peter standing up, we see the beginning of going. No one can go sitting, someone must stand. So Peter preached because he's beginning the call. And when Peter began to preach, we see the I shall be with you. I shall work through you. That, brothers and sisters, should give us courage that God shall be with us. God is with us when we preach the gospel, when we win souls. He will never leave nor forsake us. He said, behold, I shall be with you till the end of the age. And it is not the end of the age. So he's always with us. So what happened here is that during this festival called the
Pentecost,
God poured out His Spirit to the disciples of Jesus Christ. He poured out His Spirit to also the apostles who were with the disciples. They were all together, if you read the text. And they were in one mind, in unity. In unity of doctrine, in unity as the children of one Spirit, one Father, one Son, in unity as the body of Christ. God fulfilled His promise. He poured out His Spirit. The only way that God we know is with us because we have the Spirit of God. So God fulfills His promises. They began to speak in foreign languages that were known at the time. And people began to be confused. And Peter stood up to explain. But we see when Peter standing up to explain, he's not trying to be popular. He's not trying to be politically correct. He's not trying to be appreciated by people. When he realized that these people need God, what he does is stand up because it was time to glorify Christ. He realized it was time to preach the gospel. It was time to win souls as Christ has sent us into the world to win souls. When you see these desperate people, regardless of their religious status, he preached the gospel. The important thing to see, my friends, when he stood up, when he began to preach the gospel, they hate. Brothers, they hate. Verse 37, they hate. And they responded, man, what shall we do? The very stubborn people who killed Jesus, the very stubborn people who rejected the gospel before, now Peter is standing up, they hate. How did they hear? It is because God continued to keep His faithfulness, continued to keep His promise. The power of the Holy Spirit penetrated through their hearts. When Peter was preaching the gospel, we see the Spirit and the gospel working together. There is no way the gospel shall save anyone without the Spirit. And if the Spirit itself regenerates someone, it needs the gospel to bring the truth in the heart of the person. The Spirit opens the heart. Then the gospel speaks the truth. There is God who's gracious and righteous. There's God who's holy. And there is you who need Christ. There is you who's fallen. That's the gospel telling you in your heart. And it shows you now where to go. It says, you've been there, you've been there, you've been there, but now there is Christ. So they hate. That's the hearing. It is from within the Spirit getting a word from God. Your own spirit, your own soul. Hearing the Spirit of God. That's how conversion works, my friends. The heart needs to be convicted by the Spirit. Until your heart is convicted by the Spirit, until these people's hearts are convicted by the Spirit, we will shout until we are blue in our faces. They were cut to the heart. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10 is asking a question. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on Him whom they have not heard?
Good Lord.
They have not heard. How can they believe? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? Not to say that all are going to be preachers, but the point that I'm trying to make, they will only believe when they hear. They can only believe when the power of the Spirit penetrates and the Word brings the truth, they're working together. They have to be cut to the heart. And that is the only way, my friends, you can hear Jesus speaking to you in the context of salvation. Your hearts must be melted.
inhliziyo yakho kufanele izobhlungu.
When you begin to have remorse of your sins, remorse of what you have done to God, until you have that in your heart, until they have that in their heart, this world, this Olivan Township, there will be no change. We need the Spirit. We need the Word. So as we pray for the preaching of the Word, as we pray and prepare ourselves to tell our friends, our neighbors and everybody, there is Jesus, don't die. We still need the Spirit to work. You begin to see your ignorance, that you have ignored the written law of God that is in your heart when the Spirit begins to work.
You see,
your hopelessness. You can see how naked you are before God. And your stubbornness is being removed. And you hear God calling you, turn from your sins and come to Christ. Because the Spirit is working. But above all, because the Word is preached and faithfully preached. Someone needs to stand up. So here is my question, my friends. Is the preaching of the gospel just weights? Are we standing here just talking? No, my friends. Today we see when Peter began to preach, that cloud of darkness that covered their hearts was removed. The scales of sin that covered their eyes began to be removed, and their hearts were melted. We need the Word. The only thing that will change the situations here is the Word. And the Word will always work with the Spirit. That is why the Word needs spiritual people to send the gospel out. That's why we began by talking about our characters. The Spirit of God will never function by using sinful people. You can call yourself prophet Mang Mang, it doesn't matter. When you are sinful, you don't have the Spirit, even if you can fool everybody.
He's
not only being sinful. What about being gospel centered? If you don't have the gospel, no one will be saved. So brothers, I'm repeating again. As we prepare ourselves and try to win souls, and we are trying to be faithful to the gospel, let's pray for the convicting Spirit of God. Because this dead man, these people who were dead in their sins, they began to come alive. These people with stony hearts, these stubborn people, they began to come to life and they began to ask questions. The very people who rejected Jesus, they say, now, brothers, what must we do? The question that must remain when we preach the gospel. As I speak now, if you have not been to Jesus for the cleansing power, here's the question that must ring in your heart. Brothers, what must I do? How can I run away from this wrath to come? How can I save myself from this perverse generation? That's what they ask. What must we do? And many brothers and sisters have heard the gospel. But when they began to ask this question in their hearts, what must I do? Then they began to reject the very same question that they have. I want to plead this morning. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't leave this store without the answer. of what must I do. That's our aim. That's our purpose. When we preach the gospel, we want people to say, friends, what must we do? And it will be our responsibility to tell them what to do. Here is my point that I want to make before I come to the end. Stubborn hearts, or the stubbornness of the hearts of the people, should not worry us. Religious people should not worry us as we carry out this mission of winning souls. As you share the gospel with somebody living in your house, don't worry, as long as you preach the gospel. That's what Peter preached, a Christ-centered gospel. Don't worry about the stubbornness. The Spirit of God will do His part. Preach the gospel. Don't worry about vestiges and chambers and everyone. Don't worry. Go to them. Tell them. But I already told you, it is a threatening situation. It is difficult to tell someone who has been going to church for 10 years that he needs Jesus. It doesn't have Jesus. But here is Peter telling people, you busy bowing down here in Jerusalem, claiming to have a relationship with God? No, you cannot. Unless you have Jesus, the very Jesus you crucified, God has made him Lord and Savior. It is time now to look up to him and forget everything else. It is time that your heart can see the light, that Jesus Christ is the only light that can lighten up your
will.
That is why as Christians, when we are tempted, we have Jesus. We look up to Christ and we look at this sin coming. Then we view. Then we see Christ being glorious. Then we are able to run and flee from the wrath of God. We are able to overcome our sins because there is Christ. My point, this world needs Jesus. This world needs the gospel. Not some sweet talk. It is time that the Church of Christ arise. Men of God. No, they ask, men of God, brothers, what shall we do? And here's the answer. Peter answers, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's what we tell people. Present the gospel, tell them the solution. The idea is this, my friends. God is faithful. He said, behold, I shall be with you. He is with us. Don't worry. Don't even worry that your friends reject you because you tell them the gospel. Don't worry about your husband. Preach the gospel with your character, with the words of Christ. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. And the Spirit and the Word will work together to convict people. They shall hear the voice of Christ. They will begin to follow the shepherds. And they will no longer enjoy being fooled by false prophets and the servants of the devil. They will no longer reject God anymore, but they will trust in Jesus Christ if the gospel is preached, if the Spirit is working. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we will not be worried. We will stand up. We will not sugarcoat the gospel. We will not sugarcoat the gospel. We will not preach what the world wants us to preach, but we will preach what the world needs to be preached.
My
friends, if our gospel makes us to be less popular, let it be. This country has been going under the dark shadow of false religion for too long. It is time that the gospel is preached. It is time that we, as the children of God, we carry out the good news to everyone. In the taxi, at work, just tell somebody, ask somebody, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Even if the gospel sounds unpopular, my friends, even if it sounds unkind, but it is because the gospel is not designed to please men. The gospel is designed to please only God. We will preach this gospel until people realize that life is useless outside Christ. We are here so that we may have access to the kingdom of God. We need to build on Christ, because all other ground is sinking sand. So what must we do as soul winners? We need to be vocal. Peter was vocal regardless of the threat. Peter was vocal regardless that the people claimed to be religious. We need to stand up. We need to start in our own people. Remember, he says, men of Israel. He's speaking to his people. We need to speak to our own people. Your friends, your brother, your sister, your mother. These are the very people who need the gospel. And above all, we must trust in the Lord. Because
he has promised,
behold, I shall be with you till the end of the age. We must stand up, we must preach the gospel, we must share this good news of the kingdom of God. And when we preach, we must be Christ-centered. In everything that we do, we must be Christ-centered. When we sitting, as indeed, wherever we are, we must be Christ-centered. Our mind must be centered unto Christ. How can I win this man? That's all we must think. We're taking orders, but my mind, how can I win my boss to the Lord? The purpose of God, the purpose of the Son and the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the gospel is to win souls. So the purpose of the church should be to win souls. The purpose of every individual, the aim of every individual, is to win souls, is that they may turn to God, that they may repent from their sins and come to Christ. That is the first step. Peter stood up. A very good example. Regardless of the threat, preach the gospel. And they were cut to their hearts. Let us encourage this morning that God is with us. Let us carry on to preach the gospel. And let us carry on to listen to the gospel. I'm grateful that we are here today, even if it's raining like this. God is always with us. And may the good Lord bless us. As we preach the gospel that will cut into the heart. Because we know God will give people a new heart. May the good Lord bless you. And we will all close our eyes as I pray. Baba wethu osezulwini uyiso wenkosi Jesu. Siyabonga ekuseni Nkosi yami usikhumbuza amezwi akho. Kuba sukume siyibandla lakho Nkosi. Isimo sibhekene naso sinzima endaweni esikuyo yase Oliven Nkosi yami. Everyone, oh God, claims to be a Christian. Even sinking in their sins, killing innocent children, but they all are Christians. Oh Heavenly Lord, may you revive your church, oh God. May you speak to the people, our Father. May you do means, O God. May your Spirit work in this generation, O God. May we also be people working in this generation, our God. Oh, Heavenly Lord, if there's anyone among us even this day who has heard these gospels preaching even in this pulpit as we speak, may his heart or her heart melt. May the darkness be removed. May Christ be King. And glory to you, our King, forever and ever. We all say Amen. Amen. And we shall sing together hymn number 7. Ngavala meso for the benediction. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do this. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Bazalwane siyabonga. Shangathi inkosi yomusa ingasigcina. Kakhulu ngibonga ukuthi nibe khona, although iweather injeni. May the Lord bless each and every one of you.